Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Well, I'm afraid to touch the microphone this afternoon because I just reached for it and it's in a funky position, which I'm sure the listeners don't really care about this, Andrew, but it's like right before I do the show, I'm grabbing the microphone and it's all twisted. I blame Carl because wasn't he in this position here?
Yeah,
Katie was gone this afternoon, so Carl was in the host position. Well, it's really not the host position because I'm the only host that sits here. Everybody else doesn't run their own board. So we'll see if the mic falls off. That's what usually happens. The mic basically just falls off in front of me and then we have to hold it and fix it. We're off and running here for a Wednesday edition of the show. Plenty of fun stuff to come this afternoon. And I want to get into Kamala Harris here because some of this is just comical, but let's lay out the show. Yesterday I talked about this ransomware thing, and you know, we've been talking a lot about it in the last couple of weeks, and the testimony on Capitol Hill from the guy who ran the oil pipeline talking about they didn't have two-factor authentication.
Authentication.
That's a new word, authentication.
I like that one better.
Yeah, I do too, kind of. I'm going to start using that. So George from Throttlenet's going to come on and explain some of those things coming up. There was a great piece last week. Andrew, do you know the Babylon Bee?
Yeah, I know the Babylon
Bee. The Babylon Bee is a satire site, right? It's satire on Twitter. They put fake news headlines that are meant to be fake news headlines, and they're often very funny. Now, it is something that leans right wing, but the New York Times did some things in a story that they were writing referring to the Babylon Bee, and now they're suing the New York Times. And Paula Bulliard, who's the editor of PJ Media, used to be Pajama Media, is going to come up. I knew that the news came out over the weekend. I don't know if you guys really talked about it, but Chris Nagus has been on my show for many years. He's leaving Channel 4. He's the official investigative reporter of the Mark Reardon Show, which is a title that comes with zero compensation. But we'll have to replace that position now. But he's going to join us for a few minutes. Paul Weiland, who's a state senator, coming up. Rodney Davis and Janae Strack from Heritage Action. A lot of things to get to today. So yesterday, there I hit the microphone with my paper. That's always great professional radio too. Yesterday we talked about Kamala Harris just a little bit and some of the comments she made in the softball interview. Although I guess Lester Holt tried just a little bit because he pushed back when she tried to give the answer. There was a great takedown of Kamala by Tucker Carlson last night. I want to play some of that audio. But this is another example of the media giving this administration a complete pass because, and we'll talk about it, I'll bring this up with Rodney a little bit later this afternoon. If this was something that Mike Pence did, or if there was a Republican vice president that acted this way or really responded in this manner repeatedly, because she does, we talked about yesterday, she's got this awkward laugh. She doesn't, I guess, think she has to offer any substance because she knows that she's going to get a pass. So this is Lester Holt trying to ask her a little bit about the border, which she has not been to. Now, let's keep in mind here, this is something that's important. She was appointed by the president to be the person, essentially the border czar, to be the person in charge of trying to fix things at the border. So that's why this question becomes important.
Do you have any plans
to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
How can she not understand the point that he's making? And again, there was a missed opportunity there, because the follow-up question would be, well, sure, you haven't been to Europe, we know that, but you're not in a position that you were appointed to try to figure out the crises in Europe by the guy that brought you to the White House. So that's the difference there.
Listen, I've been to the border before. I will go again. But when I'm in Guatemala dealing with root causes, I think we should have a conversation about what's going on in Guatemala.
I have to give credit to Tucker Carlson, because he did an amazing takedown last night. And the more I hear Kamala Harris, the more I'm concerned. Well, I think it was probably obvious during the election, but she's not really ready to be in this position. And I suppose I saw a story today that said that Biden's even talking about, he's making whispers about running again in 2024. I think the Republicans should hope that Kamala Harris runs in 2024, because I think more of this is going to be exposed. But here's what happened last night.
So this is a fully vaccinated person who recently kissed her fully vaccinated husband while both of them were wearing surgical masks and then pretended it was entirely normal, just like you do at home.
So dumb.
Kissing your vaccinated husband with a surgical mask. This is the daughter of two college professors who tells you with a straight face that she grew up poor and depressed under Jim Crow in California. This is a person who can't stop lecturing you about American values, what this country stands for, despite the fact she didn't really grow up here. Actually, Harris went to high school in Montreal. And yet, and this is the amazing part, even in French-speaking Canada, she now tells us, quote, many generations of her Indian and Jamaican family somehow celebrated Kwanzaa. That's a holiday that was invented in Los Angeles in 1966, and we could go on. But let's summarize it for you. How fake is Kamala Harris? We'll put it this way. She can't even decide how to pronounce her own first name. We've heard her say it at least two different ways with maximum confidence.
You know, that's what's funny. I played that audio last year where she did, we can dig that up, where she does say Kamala and Kamala in a forceful way. So that was always a little confusing to me. Look, I'm kind of hit and miss on Tucker. He's not always my favorite person, but not that I don't agree with him on many of the issues, because I do, but I think he gets off the rails in some circumstances, and I'm not afraid to point that out. In this particular case, he was spot on. I thought this was one of the best monologues he did in a long time.
No one ever asks her real questions. When was the last time that happened?
Exactly.
Tulsi Gabbard was probably the last person to do it. And in the almost 2 years since, Harris has continued to ascend. How'd she do that? Well, purely on the basis of how she looks. Meanwhile, because it is so improbable that someone this unimpressive has become so powerful, the people in charge are forced to assure us, almost with hysteria, that she is brilliant and impressive.
Now, I subscribe to most newspapers out there, just because in doing a radio show, you hit these newspaper sites and they put up the paywall. So, but I'm a fan of the LA Times. I really do like the LA Times coverage. They have great entertainment coverage, and some of the columnists are good too. But obviously, I know where they tilt. I was unaware of this little feature in the LA Times.
The LA Times, which was a news organization at one point, announced that Harris was getting her own section in the newspaper. That is news dedicated exclusively to Kamala Harris. Readers get their business news, their international news, and then their critical Kamala Harris news. She's now her own category of news. The paper called the news section Covering Kamala Harris. Not surprisingly, the first dispatch from the LA Times' new Kamala Harris bureau didn't focus on her policy accomplishments. That would have been a pretty thin section. Instead, the paper covered the way she looks. Quote, Kamala Harris is all kinds of firsts. The first woman of color, the first black woman, the first mixed-race woman, and South Asian elected to national office.
This kind of stuff, the first everything, just wears on me. And as I've said in the past, you know, everything has to be framed around race and gender, certainly by the media and by this administration. You're going to continue to see this. I did not know about this. This is another thing that Tucker sort of highlighted last night. There was this, I'm not sure exactly where it aired. Andrew, did it say where it aired? This, because this was on the Disney Channel, isn't it, my understanding?
I'm not sure where it aired, actually.
It's from Disney. That. We'll play the clip, but I don't know where it aired either.
Kamala Harris, Disney explained to your kids recently, isn't actually a political leader. She's more than that. She's like a god.
Once there was a young girl who used her voice to make the world around her a better place.
Now, this was on the Disney Channel.
Some say the odds were stacked against her, but her mother had big plans for this little flower, who had freedom fighting in her blood. She led a successful protest so kids could continue to play and became part of a divine group of leaders. She rose to places that no woman had. From front lawn activist to Madam Vice President.
It's all animated.
She will use her voice to run this nation and inspire it too. Kamala Harris, making her story.
Yeah, making her story, right? That is something you would never, I don't think you'd see that if you had an African-American Republican vice president. You'd never see that from the Disney Channel. And then there's this. This is the montage. I love it when MSNBC and CNN, everyone fawns over her.
Mexico this weekend to tackle the root causes of the surge in migration.
The symbolism of having a mom of color up there talking, you know, about these situations, I think it is important.
The child of immigrants, first Black, first South Asian woman, is going to represent us in Guatemala today. I mean, I would really kill to be a fly on that wall in those meetings.
Remember, she is the first woman vice president. She's the first woman of color vice president. And this trip will start to shape how Americans view her.
The fact that Kamala Harris is visiting there as the first woman, female vice president, the first woman of color to visit that region, herself a child of immigrants, that speaks volumes as well to the people of those countries.
It does. It makes me all weepy just thinking about it. It really does. Now you have this situation, and it's funny that this is getting a little coverage. It's really not getting a lot of coverage, but there was a an issue. Let me see if I can. There's another one where I meet the paywall because I was trying to get the specifics of this. Hold on. Apparently, I do not subscribe to The Independent. So they had a news conference, and this one was in Mexico City, and reporters are asking Kamala Harris questions, and there was a woman who took the microphone to say this, if I can find the right cut.
Our next question will come from Maria Fernanda at Univision.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. For me, it's an honor because I actually got to vote for the first time as a nationalized citizen, and I voted for you. So my question is, what would you say to these women, those mothers, and also women of color on both sides of the border, farmers, many of them who I see every day, as a message of hope, but also as what will you do for them in the next coming years?
That's a great question, and
that
thank you.
Is, thank you for the great question. The only problem is the guy that runs Univision, Daniel Coronel, later tweeted out the video and said, in Mexico, an individual which has no association with Univision claimed to be a reporter for Univision in order to ask the VP a question and compliment Kamala Harris. Let me be clear to everyone that Ms. Maria Fernandez-Reyes is not part of this media organization. Although I was a little confused as to why this was a problem, because somebody gets up there and she asked a question. She asked a legitimate question, at least legitimate by the definition of what the media does today. But I guess the problem was that she, because listen to the front part of the bite here, she fawns.
Our next question will come from Maria Fernanda at Univision.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. For me, it's an honor because I actually got to vote for the first time as a nationalized citizen. I voted for you.
Why is that so different? I mean, all the reporters, they can all start that way, basically. They just don't do it and say, hey, I'm honored because I voted for you. One of the issues that I'm going to get into, and this is a pet issue, and I think it's important. Let me highlight something that President Obama said over the weekend, which is just ridiculous, is the continued coverage of critical race theory. And we have someone from the Heritage Action for America group coming on here. There's a bit of a toolkit for parents, and I am still on the Rockwood Schools message board on Facebook. There's a lot of this stuff that comes up there. But I want to play something that the president, the former president, said about critical race theory.
How are we going to deal with the economy? And what are we going to do about climate change? And what are we going to do about, lo and behold, the single most important issue to them apparently right now is critical race theory. Who knew that was the threat to our republic?
Here's what I say. Who knew that the number one threat to our republic, and by the way, there's no Republicans that are saying this is a threat to our republic. We think it's a very important issue, and I'm going to fight very hard to make sure that it dies a very quick death in schools in particular. And I only have control over my school district and things that happen here, but I certainly am comfortable with leading the way on that. But President Obama knows what critical race theory is. He knows all about it. And for him to sort of cast it aside like it's nothing is just comical. And you hear the other side just talk about white supremacy. The number one threat to this country is white supremacy and white cops in particular. So that's a bunch of BS from the president, but we'll get into that a little bit later in the 5 o'clock hour. On that front, though, this is interesting as well. This may be a candidate for audio cut of the day as we do that at about 5:45. This is an English teacher at Dwight Englewood School in New Jersey. It's a prep school, and it's a private prep school. This is not a public school. It costs $50,000 per year to attend. But she is not. You're seeing this at these private schools, in particular New York, other big cities where critical race theory has been implemented, and she doesn't like it at all. So she made that clear, did a video, resigned.
Fairfax County public school teacher, and I'm going to give a message of encouragement to parents and teachers and students who are too afraid to come and speak forward. Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. You should be afraid of them rooting for socialism by the time they get to middle school. Teachers, it may seem that our careers have come to a dead end, but I'm here to remind you, we don't work for the school board. We work to mold the next generation of well-rounded American patriots. So don't give up because it is up to us. Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you're presented with a ludicrous statement and do not allow anybody to tell you that you cannot accomplish anything because of your skin color or to hate yourself because of your skin color. Students, it is up to you to be the next generation of victims or victors.
Yep.
And finally, to the board, this isn't over.
That's going to be probably a strong contender for audio cut of the day. Every once in a while, you got a deep closer comes in and grabs that spot, but that'll be 5:45. Last fall at that school in New Jersey, two administrators informed the faculty that certain viewpoints would not be tolerated during the new race-explicit conversations with our new, quote, anti-racist work. They said that no one can challenge the orthodoxy regarding systemic racism. Message was very clear, and everyone went silent, of course. On at least two occasions in the last few years, 2017 and 2018, the head of the school, in front of everyone in an auditorium, told the entire faculty that he would fire them if he could do so, so he could replace them all with people of color. And this year, administrators are asserting that the policy and the critical race theory and also the hiring policy for diversity is questionable, and also that it's become, and she alleges that it's become hostile toward educators based solely on their traits. During and this is what critical race theory does, by the way. During a faculty meeting, teachers were segregated by skin color. Teachers who had light skin were placed into a white caucus group and asked to remember that we are white and to take responsibility for our power and our privilege. And let me say something to President Obama and anyone else. Tony Messenger, that idiot at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and others who want to write about critical race theory right now. Because there is nobody, there's not one guest that I've had on about critical race theory. I've never said, nobody says, we don't want kids to, for example, learn about the Tulsa race riot. I didn't learn about the Tulsa race riot when I was a kid. People should learn about that. People should learn. Kids should learn about all these things. What we don't want to have happen and what is happening is indoctrination and making white kids feel like they have to apologize and be guilty just because they're white. So that's what we're fighting about. We'll have more on this in the 5 o'clock hour. George from Throttle Night coming up on the testimony yesterday by the guy who ran the oil company that got hacked and they did the ransomware and paid it. It's coming up next. 97.1 FM Talk.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Talked about this a little bit yesterday. Joseph Blount is the CEO of Colonial Pipeline. He was a little defensive yesterday. It was a Senate hearing, and he cast his company as the victim of forces beyond its control under questioning about the ransomware attack last month, which, of course, wasn't a good thing for much of the Eastern Seaboard because it cut the fuel supplies off. This is Joseph Blount yesterday.
I made the decision to pay, and I made the decision to keep the information about the payment as confidential as possible. It was the hardest decision I've made in my 39 years in the energy industry, and I know how critical our pipeline is to the country, and I put the interests of the country first. I kept the information closely held because we were concerned about operational safety and security, and we wanted to stay focused on getting the pipeline back up and running. I believe with all my heart it was the right choice to make.
So that was testimony before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. We had a great conversation with George from Throttlenet a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it was good to have him back just to talk about the update on this because it's interesting. The password stuff in particular. George Rosenthal, how are you this afternoon?
Good. Thanks for having me back, Mark.
So let's just start with that because he had one password. Even here at Odyssey, almost at Entercom, the former Entercom, we have this two-factor authentication. Banks have this now a lot where you have to put a code in, but they just had one password. He says, in his defense, it was not Colonial 1234, but that probably wasn't the best move on that company's part, right?
Absolutely not. In fact, that's an essential piece. We're talking the basics of your cybersecurity. I don't care if you've got five employees, two in a basement at your house, or you've got 50,000 worldwide. Two multi-form factor authentication is critical. And here's why. If you click on something, an email, it puts some malware in. Most cases, they're going to sit on your network for up to a year watching what you're doing and looking at your passwords. His password could have been 120 characters long. It doesn't matter if they're inside your network. They're selling that to the dark web, and they're going to use that to get into your system. So multi-form factor authentication is critical because it proves each time that it's you, whether it's a number sent to your phone, whether it's a keychain device that continually changes numbers. It is absolutely critical. So saying that you just have a password change every once in a while doesn't make any difference.
What are the – because we have this thing called One Login here that had been a real pain in the ass until recently because I don't know why, but I always had to press the – or enter the number in automatically. Now, you know, when I'm at home and I want to pull up my work email, I have to click on the One Login thing. I think it just sends it to it. And then
it's supposed to send it directly to it.
Yeah, and then you pull it up, and if you click the green button, then it goes through. And it's pretty easy once you get the hand of it or the handle on it. But – are there other – I'm sure there's other things that are along those lines, right, George?
Yeah, I mean, you should absolutely have – and maybe they did have these things in place, but, I mean, look, every single company listening out there should have a cybersecurity incident response plan in place. What are you going to do in the event something like this happens? Because they did, and, you know, here he is in front of the Senate, but they had a plan, and absolutely. But you also need business continuity and disaster recovery. What are you going to do? How are you going to keep the company going? He was shut down for multiple days. So hopefully, you know, they had a continuity plan in place. You need to be training people and training your employees not to click on certain things. There needs to be certain cybersecurity awareness training at all times. I'm sure they had a commercial grade cloud backup, and I'm sure they had a commercial grade firewall. But in the end, it comes down to making sure that whatever ends up, if they end up on your network and they spend a year there, which they do, they don't automatically ask for ransom right away. They'll sit and watch you. Everything that you're doing and start collecting data and putting it out on the dark web for sale. It's absolutely crazy. What's really fascinating is how the FBI actually got some of the money back.
Yeah, so yesterday I talked about this a little bit, and let me correct something. I thought they had gotten all of the money back, but they recouped $2.3 million. But that's
correct.
A fair amount. And how did they do that? That was the Justice Department, right?
Yeah, so Justice Department, the FBI. What's fascinating is what the mistake that dark side, the hackers, these are in Russia, confirmed, the mistake they made. So literally, it's like robbing a bank in the 70s, and you got a bag of money, and they put the ransom in the ransom bag of money, and they put a tracer in it, and they watch you run through the subway, and then you go home, and then you deposit the money into a bank. Well, that's essentially what happened here. So after they went through, and this is after the Colonial Pipeline went through all of the precautions and tried to do everything they could, they then contacted the FBI and said, hey, we're going to have to pay. So the FBI said, fine, you're going to pay, but we're going to trace it as long as we can. So they traced it, and certain pieces of it broke off. So they're tracing the transactions of Bitcoin, of cryptocurrency, as it's exchanging hands. So they exchange it, but most of it, the 63 Bitcoins out of the 75, end up in basically a public exchange, which essentially is a bank. If we put it in layman's terms, it's like leaving your money at Bank of America. Well, the FBI contacted that exchange, that cryptocurrency exchange, and said, hey, we traced money that was paid in ransom from Colonial Pipeline to your exchange. You need to pay it back or give us the key. So that's how they ended up getting the money back. Now, what most ransom will, what will happen is they'll take that money and put it onto what's called a cold exchange or a hardware storage so that it's off the grid. And then that money is untraceable. That's what most of the time happens. But the dark side made this mistake. Obviously, everybody knows this mistake may not be made again by anybody because now they know the FBI was tracing that exchange all the way through and they left it out in the public instead of putting it down into their basement safe, so to speak, and getting it off the grid.
That's interesting. You know, one of the things that he admitted yesterday is that, you know, they had this plan, but the plan did not include any action of ransom or, you know, how to respond to ransom. And there was one senator who was a Democrat from New Hampshire, Maggie Hassan, said, and I think this is true, George, and I think you'd agree with it. I've talked with small school districts in my state of New Hampshire that are better prepared for cyber attacks than Colonial Pipeline.
Absolutely. I can tell you right now, ThrottleNet clients are more protected. We saved $2.6 million in ransom for our clients. They haven't paid. So I can guarantee our clients are more protected, are better protected than the Colonial Pipeline.
Doesn't this kind of tell you, I got to go because we're running a little short on time, but this is something that sort of worries me from this standpoint, that if this guy with a pretty big company that, you know, is crucial to the fuel supply on the East Coast, if he's got a simple password and doesn't do the two-factor authentication, there have to be other pretty big companies that aren't doing this, or is he just the only one?
No, it's happening all over the place. In fact, I would recommend everyone go to ThrottleNet.com/971 to watch a tour, a live tour of the dark web.
We talked about the dark web a couple weeks ago, and it is fascinating, and it's very frightening. George Rosenthal, ThrottleNet.com/971 to give me a little credit. Thank you, George. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Mark. Talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
you might have noticed that Sue is out. Sue Thomas is out for a couple of days. She's got some family in town. She'll be back tomorrow. But we're still going to do a little Sue's News in the next hour. I mentioned this yesterday. KMOV's Chris Negus is leaving Channel 4. He's like the official investigative reporter of the Mark Reardon Show. So I want to just kind of touch base with Chris, find out what he's doing. We'll do that in the next hour. Also, Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis with us about 4:25. Paula Bolliard is with me. She's the editor of PJ Media. I ran across a piece a couple of days ago about the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee is one of my favorite sites on Twitter in particular. It's a satire site, although apparently it's being accused of something else right now. Let's talk with Paula from PJ Media. How are you, Paula?
Hi, Mark. I'm really well. Thanks for having me on today.
I love the Babylon Bee. I retweet the Babylon Bee a lot. It's a great satire site, and it's fun to do it because their stories are very, sometimes I think, difficult to disseminate whether they're real or not, just because all this stuff that happens in the woke world is so crazy. And, you know, every once in a while you'll tweet something out and people will think it is real when it's satire. But this story is about something a little different than that, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Babylon Bee, to their credit, is fighting back against some of these bogus fact checkers that are disparaging their name and their reputation by, you know, calling them, in particular, the New York Times referred to them as a far right site that's disseminating disinformation. And, you know, when the New York Times, the supposed paper of record, calls you a disinformation site, that has some serious implications. And the Babylon Bee is claiming that they've been defamed by the New York Times, and they sent a demand letter retracting those descriptors of their site. Now, the New York Times came back with a change in the language and actually made things worse by saying, well, they're fighting with Snopes, the other fact checkers, too. So, you know, in our defense, not everybody, you know, everybody agrees that this is disinformation, which isn't true at all. And I think, yes, we're all fooled occasionally because the Babylon Bee has satire sites that are satire articles that seem more real than actual things in the news. And real life is more like satire than
it really is
the
these
Babylon
days.
Bee sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, most sentient beings who are on social media are well aware of the Babylon Bee and know that they're a satire site. So, you know, the idea that they're pushing disinformation and sneaking it in the satire is absolutely absurd, and Babylon Bee was right to push back.
And by the way, I had to pull it up on Twitter just now, and here's one of the tweets from a couple hours ago. And I, you know, I have older kids, so I watched a lot of Blue's Clues in the past. Are you familiar with Blue's Clues, Paula? Are you?
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah, my kids watched it as well. I keep sending stuff to my son saying, "Have you seen this?"
I always liked the original Steve. I'm just going to say that. But here's the Babylon Bee story: Blue's Clues to be guest hosted by Jared from Subway, and you have a picture of Jared with the Blue's Clues shirt on. Now that's kind of that's biting satire there, and maybe a little gross too, but this is what they do. And it's not, if I'm not mistaken, they had some, you talk about the guy here that is with Babylon Bee, and he sort of shot back. Is that guy's name, is that Seth Dillon?
Yes, Seth Dillon is the CEO of the Babylon Bee. And he's been very aggressive on social media pushing back against this.
Didn't he have a situation where the site on Twitter was shut down for a little while earlier this year?
Ooh, you know, I am not 100% sure of that.
I think that happened. I really, because I talked about some of the things at the time. But let me go back to this New York Times thing, because here's the actual line from the article is, satire kept popping up as a blind spot in 2019 and 2020. Facebook often dealt with far-right misinformation sites that used quote-unquote satire claims to protect their presence on the platform, Mr. Brookings said. For example, the Babylon Bee, a right-leaning site, sometimes trafficked in misinformation under the guise of satire. And as you pointed out, Paul, they sort of backed off on that and changed it, may have made it worse. But I don't know the legal aspects of a case like this, because usually, you know, a claim of defamation is pretty specific. Do you have any insight on that and how this might move forward in the court if it gets there?
You know, it's really hard to say. In the past, the courts have not been eager to take up cases like this that involve the media, just because we have a First Amendment and it's very vigorously protected most of the time. But you know, at some point there has to be some commentary from the court on, you know, whether you can lie about somebody, blatantly lie about a website or a person and disparage their reputation.
You had another story. I know you pointed this out, that Seth Dillon said that there was a guy named Kevin Roos who wrote a piece that claimed that the Babylon Bee capitalizes on confusion, that they have a habit of skirting the line between misinformation and satire, whatever that means. But look, it's just a wickedly brilliant satire site. And if you're going to go after the Babylon Bee, you got to go after, you know, Saturday Night Live, even though they don't hit the people on the left, but there's been a lot of satire, I guess would qualify as satire, that's not very funny on SNL and some of these other shows that are out there.
Yeah, and The Onion as well, but it seems like it's directed almost primarily at right-leaning sites or conservative sites. And there's been a concerted effort on the left to shut down any speech that they don't agree with. And, you know, that includes, you know, criticism of the Biden administration. That includes especially two topics that they're especially aggressive on are climate change and the Wuhan virus, the COVID virus.
And the the narrative on the latter has changed a little bit in the last few weeks.
It's changed a lot of it. It's changed from you cannot even talk about the possible theory about a possible lab leak. You cannot say it. You'll be kicked off Facebook. You'll have your traffic throttled. And we had that happen to some of our sister sites. Red State and Town Hall got their traffic throttled for just, you know, suggesting that maybe a lab leak was responsible. Suddenly, in a matter of, you know, a 24-hour period, all the mainstream media was talking about, well, there might be a lab leak theory. And they're covering their butts saying, well, you know, the reason we didn't talk about it was because nobody knew, and suddenly people know. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it shows that the only reason they suppressed that story is they thought suppressing that story would somehow hurt Trump. You know, Trump said it might be a lab leak, therefore, in lockstep, the left media came out and said, no lab leak here, it's definitely a bat.
Well, and you know what's extra frustrating to me about that is that now you already had this level, you know, on steroids, if you will, of distrust of the media. And then something like that happens. And when you have, I happen to think that people should get vaccinated right now, for example. But I understand why people are going to take a step back and not believe a lot of the information that we hear, simply because there's been so much misrepresentation in other parts of the media on some of these other issues.
Right. And, you know, information has changed as we've gathered more information about the virus. That's expected in a situation like this with a novel virus. But the fact that they, you know, there are certain things like natural immunity you can't talk about, herd immunity you can't talk about without getting the fact checkers involved. And, you know, those are things that have been accepted since the beginning of immunology and our understanding of how viruses work. And suddenly you can't talk about those topics. And the fact that they're suppressing certain topics is definitely, you know, raising the distrust level in the mainstream media, and even worse, in our so-called health experts and, you know, these national agencies that are supposed to be protecting our health. And, you know, they don't even want to talk about something like herd immunity, or when they do, like that Dr. Fauci did, he changed the threshold level for that and keeps changing it over and over again. You know, there's so much confusion and no one really feels like they have a grasp on what the truth is.
Well, Paula Bulliard is here. She's an editor at Pajama Media. I want you to also talk about what you guys are demanding an apology from, something that went on at Facebook, right?
Right. Well, and this keeps happening over and over again. They'll find an article of ours that they don't agree with, and we'll say, well, we have three experts who say this, this, and this, and we'll document it, and we'll point to legitimate articles, you know, medical articles from medical journals that say this, and they come back and say, well, we have three experts saying the exact opposite, therefore you are wrong. And there's no, you know, nuance. Is they're right and we're wrong, and so we get our traffic throttled, we lose revenue from it, we lose readers because they're disparaging our name and our reputation, calling us a fake news site. And yeah, I think they definitely owe us an apology on this, especially on the lab leak theory, which several of our sites were reporting, and, you know, we got in trouble with the fact checkers for those.
Yeah, by those standards, they should probably shut down and throttle most of the people out there that talk about climate change, since the, you know, the best case scenarios have been off by about 50% with their predictions. So what happened to fact checking that?
Right. Fact checkers, fact check yourself, you know. And, you know, they never come back and apologize. If you go to these fact checks of the articles on the lab leak, they haven't changed anything. They haven't made any updates. They haven't said, oh, we screwed up on this one. Maybe it is a lab. You know, they have no penalties for either lying or their disinformation. It's okay when they do it, but anybody on the right that doesn't gets punished by Facebook.
And that's where we are right now. But I think that, you know, I have a fair amount of confidence that people out there know what's going on with the media. And unfortunately, it does lead to more distrust. And I don't know how you fix that. Paula Bolliard, the editor of Pajama Media. Great to have you on. Keep us posted on this, Paula. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
And I got to correct myself there. I said Pajama Media, but it's PJ Media. I've read Pajama Media for so long, I thought it was still Pajama Media, but it's PJ Media. Great topic. I love the Babylon Bee. If you don't follow the Babylon Bee, and I think at one point I tried to get their editor to come on and talk about that, because they were taken down by Twitter a few months ago. On the other side of the news, I mentioned earlier, Sue's off today. She was off yesterday as well. I think Andrew's going to handle, if I can get confirmation, you'll do Sue's news this afternoon. We have a few stories we want to toss in there. Also, Chris Nagus from Channel 4, he's leaving the station, taking on a new role. I think he's still staying here in St. Louis. We'll give you some information about the cicada attack on our president. That's very, very serious. Illinois Congressman Rodney Davidson, State Senator Paul Wieland is coming up, too, on the latest with budget cuts and the Medicaid situation in Missouri. It's all coming up next hour, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.